morning, church family.
Good morning.
Good morning to all of our guests. We have a large group of young people here from one of our academies, or junior academy. Is it academy also? No? Okay, junior academy. Great. From Arizona, Glenview Academy, eighth graders. Yeah. How long till you graduate? Oh, you already did? Oh, this is an after graduation. Great. Well, welcome to San Diego, and we're so glad you came to worship with us this morning. Came a long way, and we provided, I think, some pretty decent weather for you, God willing. And we pray that your trip will be a fun trip, but also a safe one as you enjoy this time here. For those of you that are visiting us, we have been systematically going through the Gospels, so we are now in the book of Luke. And if you want to pick up a Bible, there's one in front of you probably there in the pew. Luke chapter 5. Last week, Jesus called the disciples. And Peter, of course, good old Peter, was one of the first ones that he had called. And it's interesting that Peter himself declares, when Jesus asked him to put the net down, and they had been fishing all night, and Peter kind of thought, we've been fishing all night, so, what's different here? And then, of course, when they pull the net in, the net was full. And it's an interesting response that Peter gives to this experience, because he really didn't know Jesus that well. But he recognized that in Jesus there was something very, very special, in fact, something very divine. Because this was truly a miracle. And so it says in chapter 5, verse 8, when Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, because I am a sinful man." It's interesting that Luke, as he tells this story, one of the themes that he continually brings back is the idea that there is a need for Christ in the lives of each individual that Jesus comes in contact with. Whether it's an illness, whether it's a sinful condition, whether it's a total lack of knowledge of who Jesus Christ is, there's always this little thread that runs through everything that Luke writes, and that is that a person has a need and Jesus meets that need. He wants Theophilus to understand that Jesus was the one who came to fulfill the greatest need of all humanity, and that is the need for salvation, the forgiveness of sin and eternal salvation. But he's building that case. Now remember, Luke, of course, didn't really know Jesus, so he gathered his information from all the other people that had met Jesus, that had observed his ministry, that had been part of his ministry, and he gathers it all together, and he's writing a sermon here in the book of Luke. For those of you that are students, it's a term paper. Okay? And I think they still do term papers the way they used to, except you have computers, but we have these file cards in the library that we used to have to go through. You know, pull out cards, and then we had to go to the books, and we had to find the quotes that we needed, and then we got it all together, and then we had to write it and rewrite it, and then we took it to the teacher, and she said, it's not good enough, go back and write it again. So finally you get it all done. Well, that's what Luke is doing here. He is writing a term paper, if you please, on the life of Jesus. But he moves from this experience of calling the disciples, and he jumps right into an interesting story. A story about a poor leper. There's something that I notice in the experience of these writers. As I read Matthew, as I read Mark, as I read Luke, there's one thing that becomes very obvious, one thing that becomes very, very, you can't miss it. That Jesus is in opposition to the evil in the world. Have you ever seen a river that flows upstream? Anybody ever seen a river that flows upstream? Some of you are saying, yeah. Well, how many of you have seen a river flow upstream? Really? Nobody. Okay. You have. Okay, good. When I was a young person, probably, about your age, actually, I lived in the jungles of Borneo. People say, you're so lucky. You lived in Borneo when you were young. Well, I guess I am. A lot of interesting experiences. And one time we were down at the ocean, and we were snorkeling out on the coral reef, and we were finding a lot of shells. And I was with a number of the young people from the local high school. And we were just sitting up on the beach after we'd done some snorkeling. We'd gotten some shells, and we'd caught some fish, and we were cooking the fish there on an open fire. And one of the kids said, hey, have you ever seen a river flow upstream? And I said, no, rivers always flow downstream. No, I'll show you a river that flows upstream. I said, well, okay, what's the catch? Where's the joke here? No, really, seriously, I'll show you. I said, okay, let's go see this river. So we set off down the beach. And we walked and we walked. We probably walked a couple of miles in the sand. And as we got closer, I saw that there was a mouth to a river. And as we got closer, I noticed that the water was quite turbulent, actually. And I thought, well, that's interesting. You know, usually the water flows fairly smoothly and it goes out into the ocean and spreads out into the ocean. But then we got right up there, right up on the banks of that river, and sure enough, the river was flowing upstream. It was flowing upstream. In fact, it was so turbulent that if I'd had a surfboard, I probably could have surfed on some of the waves. And I thought, that's weird. I said, nah, this can't be. He says, no, follow me. So we walked up the river, and sure enough, as we walked along the river, we could see the water was flowing upstream. Well, you can probably imagine why, if you think about it. It was the tide, and it was actually coming in, and it was flowing up the river at quite a rapid pace. You see, the ministry of Jesus is like a river flowing upstream. Everything that Jesus did, it seems, was going against the mainstream. It was in opposition to the evil of the world and the condition of humanity. That river that flows upstream is God's grace. That same river is flowing today. God offers us salvation through Jesus Christ. The world says, oh, just go with the flow. Don't worry about it. Just kind of go along with things. Don't make life difficult. All your peers say, oh, come on, you know, you don't have to be so weird. You know, just do what the rest of us do. And that's easy, isn't it? Of course, Jesus could have done the same thing, couldn't he? He could have just kind of gone with the flow. He could have done what all the religious leaders told him to do. He could have just, you know, given in to the pressures of society. He could have not made a fuss. He could have just kind of gone with the flow. But Jesus had a message, and that message was eternal life. Eternal life, a gift from God. And his life and his death and his resurrection was, as I said, like a river flowing upstream. And so, the author Luke tells the story of the leper. Can you imagine Jesus is here? He is with a crowd of people around him, and he's speaking to them, and he's sharing with them the good news of salvation. And there's a person that comes up that needs some help, some encouragement, someone who needs healing, maybe a little child that's sick, and Jesus heals them. And suddenly, as Jesus is standing there ministering to these people, there's a kind of a rumble and sort of a gasp in the group of the crowd that's around Jesus, and it begins to part, and people begin to run, and little children grab the skirts of their mothers, and they hide. They're afraid because there in the middle of that crowd is a man. He is ugly. It's terrible. He has huge holes in his face. His fingers are missing. He has this sick, white, pasty skin with scabs all over it. His clothes are torn. His hair is matted. And he's mumbling under his breath, unclean, unclean, unclean. This man was a leper. I don't know if you've ever seen a leper. I have. I lived for many years in a country where they actually had established leper colonies. But during the Korean War, these colonies were broken up, and so the lepers were out, you know, in society, just kind of running around. And I remember the first time I saw a leper was in a marketplace, and there was this huge crowd of people, and I wondered, what in the world is this crowd all about? And as I stood on my tiptoes and I looked, sure enough, there was a man sitting on a chair in the middle of this crowd. And his face was all twisted, and he had sores all over his body. The crowd kept its distance. He was desperate to get money to feed his children. He was doing something very hideous, and I even shudder to even mention it, but it was his way. He was desperate. He needed to make money. He was taking a long pin and sticking it into his skin, through his muscles. No pain. You see, the lepers, they don't have pain. They lose the feeling in their legs and their hands. Eventually, they rot and they fall off. He was desperate. You see, this man was desperate. He was desperate to find healing. He was desperate to find Jesus. And now he had found Jesus. And so he's calling out to Jesus. And what does he say? He says, oh, by the way, before we get to that point, Luke makes a point of saying in verse 12, he was covered with leprosy. One translation says he was full of leprosy. He was full of leprosy. This man was probably on probably the last stages of leprosy. He was probably going to die soon. And he was desperate to find Jesus. And so he comes to Jesus at the risk of contaminating others. He knows that he will be shunned. He knows that people will probably even throw stones at him because it was considered evil to come into public. He was an outcast. He was one who was unclean. He was ostracized from society. But not in the presence of Jesus. In fact, Jesus goes towards him. Isn't that typical? Jesus flowed upstream. His ministry went in the opposite direction of societal norms. Look in Luke chapter 5. Luke says he was covered with leprosy, and when he saw Jesus, he fell with his face to the ground and said to Jesus, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." You know, I think it's interesting that this man doesn't say, "Lord, I demand that you make me clean. You owe it to me. You've got the power. Now make me clean. I didn't deserve this. I didn't do anything to be a leper, to become a leper and to suffer from this disease." It's interesting. His faith puts the request in an interesting way. "Lord, if you're willing." "Lord, if you're willing." So often in our lives when we suffer, so often when we feel rejected, when we feel alone, our minds wander and we wonder, "Lord, why did you do this to me? Why me? How come? What have I done wrong?" It's easy for us to do that, isn't it? Because we're so human. But remember that we live in a world of suffering. The one thing that is constant and the one thing is sure, that we all will suffer at some point, at some time in our lives. But like this poor leper, let us not lose sight. Let us not lose sight of the fact that we have a loving, merciful God who is willing, and that's the rest of this, "If you are willing, you can make me clean. You can do it, Lord." And what does it say? Did Jesus run? Did Jesus shun him? Did Jesus step back in disgust and utter disdain for him? No, it says he reached out his hand, the very thing that he was not supposed to do according to the Mosaic laws, the very thing that the laws told him not to do, Jesus did. There you go. Jesus is going upstream, isn't he? He's going against the flow of society. He's going against the religious norms of his day. He reaches out, and what does it say? He touches this man, and what does he say? I am willing. Be clean. I am willing. Be clean. I see some interesting dynamics at work here in this story that Luke is sharing with us. And I see dynamics that can easily be paralleled with our own lives. This man was in full defilement. He was totally defiled by this terrible disease. He felt the shame of having this disease, but he also felt the criticism of the people, because in those days they believed that when a person got sick with leprosy or anything serious like this, it was because of their sins. And if it wasn't their sins, then it was the sins of their parents or maybe their grandparents. But somewhere along the line, they had made God angry, and so now God was punishing them. Jesus showed them that this was not true. Jesus was flowing against the mainstream of religious thought. You know, I wonder how many this morning came into this place and said in their hearts, I am unclean. Some of you are saying, well, Pastor, wait a minute. I got up early. I made sure I took a shower. I made sure that my hair was combed. I put on the nicest clothes, my church clothes. You got church clothes? Church clothes. You wear them only once a week, right? For 2 hours. I put on my church clothes, and I'm, as far as I can tell, I look pretty clean, Pastor. What are you talking about here? The fact is that even the Apostle Paul said, our righteousness is as what? Filthy rags. In fact, I would be willing to venture and say that all of us, as we entered this place today, as we came before the presence of God today, we should have all said, Lord, I'm unclean. I need your grace. I need your salvation. I need forgiveness of sins. I need the blood of Jesus Christ. I think you know what I'm talking about. Maybe there's something in your present life that just makes you feel unclean. Maybe the things that you're thinking are the things that you're doing. Some of you may carry around a defiled past. Afraid that the mud on your shoes is always going to be there, and you just can't get rid of it. And it just kind of follows you around, and you, as much as you try to scrape it off, it just doesn't come off. And you feel that your past has made you unworthy, has made you unclean. And some of you are victims of a very unclean world. Perhaps you were abused. Perhaps you're being abused now. You've been hurt. You've been rejected. You've been picked on. You've been bullied. And you've made society and the world around has made you feel like you're not worth anything, that you're just unclean, you're no good, you're worthless. The good news is that the same Jesus that was still there in front of that leper and heal that leper is the same Jesus that is here today, and he will reach out and he will touch you and he will say, be clean. My grace is sufficient. My blood was shed for you. You see, this man felt so unclean and so desperate that it led him to the feet of Jesus. And there at the feet of Jesus, he was healed. And Jesus declared him clean again. It is at the feet of Jesus that all of us can find forgiveness. It is there that we find a Savior who cares for us, who loves us, and who has the power to declare us clean and righteous. This is the gospel, by the way. This is the gospel. The gospel is that the God in Christ, not our own works or our own desires, it is God in Christ that brings change and cleansing in our lives. He who works all things according to his counsel and his desires, Ephesians chapter 1. Jesus, if you desire, make me clean. One commentator says, ordinarily when something touches something unclean, it becomes unclean as well. But here, for the first time in history, it worked the other way around. When Jesus touched that leper, it did not defile Jesus. The leper was healed and became clean. Look into your own heart and your own soul this morning and ask yourself, do I need Jesus' healing? Do I need to be cleaned? Because I can assure you there's only one way that we can be clean, and that is through Jesus Christ. There's nothing that we can do. We must accept his forgiveness and his righteousness. And just as that young leper did so long ago, we must be willing, we must desire so much to be in the presence of Jesus that we are willing to go against the norms of society, against the peer pressure in your school or in your block or in your town. You must be willing to go against the crowd and to find Jesus and to kneel in the presence in the feet of Jesus and ask him, if you will, Jesus, make me clean. And I can assure you, he is faithful and he will touch you and you will be clean. Father, we thank you so much for this very special story of a man whose life was totally consumed with a very uncleanliness of leprosy. And he was willing to go against the mainstream of society, the norms of society, the norms of religious society. He was willing to come into the presence of Jesus Christ and to receive healing. Lord, help us to catch that same spirit. And as we cry out, Lord, I'm unclean. If you are willing, please heal me. Help us to be willing to stand up and to go into the presence of Jesus and to receive that healing and that cleansing that is so necessary in our lives. Bless us as we continue to worship you here in this place, we pray, in your most precious and holy name. Amen.